Tonight, breaking news as we come on the air. Emergency crews on the scene of a building collapse in New Haven, Connecticut. Construction workers were trapped. The building coming down, trapping those workers beneath the rubble. At least 8 people hurt, rushed to the hospital. 2 in critical condition tonight. Stephanie Ramos on the scene. Hurricane season has just started, and already tonight, the first named storm of the season forming in the Gulf, affecting Florida already. Tropical storm Arlene, heavy rain and flash flooding. And in the northeast at this hour, the storm moving in toward New York City in the path tonight. Rob Marciano on this and the record heat. He's tracking it all. New reporting tonight on former President Trump's handling of highly classified documents. ABC News learning Donald Trump's lawyers were unable to find the sensitive document Trump was allegedly recorded discussing about a potential U.S. attack on Iran during the Trump years. Pierre Thomas reporting. Also word coming in tonight that the CIA director, William Burns, has made a secret trip to China for the Biden administration. Martha Raddatz standing by with late reporting. The Senate passing the debt deal overnight. Tonight now, President Biden about to address this from the Oval Office on the bipartisan nature of this agreement, arguing neither side got everything they wanted. Mary Bruce in Washington. Also, major news on the economy tonight, the U.S. adding 339,000 new jobs last month, nearly doubling predictions. The stock market soaring today on the news. In California, the deadly stabbing spree and carjackings, a suspect accused of killing 3 people, injuring several others. The final days of Jeffrey Epstein. ABC News tonight obtaining prison documents and what they reveal. And we have learned tonight of a Delta flight from Paris to the U.S. diverted because of an unruly passenger who was restrained, but then broke free from those restraints. And tonight here, we remember a legendary songwriter behind so many songs, from You've Lost That Loving Feeling to Here You Come Again.
From ABC News World Headquarters in New York, this is World News Tonight with David Muir.
Good evening, and it's great to have you with us as we near the end of another week together. We do begin tonight with this building collapse in New Haven, Connecticut, an apartment building under construction. Workers trapped, 8 people injured and rushed to the hospital. Tonight, at least 2 workers in critical condition. Several rescued after being buried under that rubble. The 911 call from the site where workers were pouring concrete on the second floor, a gaping hole left where part of that floor collapsed right down to the basement. Workers plunging with it. All New Haven fire companies ordered to respond. A fleet of ambulances arriving as well. Tonight, we're told the 36-member work crew have all been accounted for, but several are in the hospital. ABC's Stephanie Ramos leading us off on the scene in New Haven.
First responders in New Haven, Connecticut today rushing to this apartment building under construction after reports of a collapse.
It's a full collapse. They got multiple people buried down there.
Our units responded immediately within minutes and found several persons in varying degrees of injury, from broken bones to 3 that were partially buried under the rubble.
Officials say workers were pouring concrete when it started to pool faster than they could spread it, the weight causing the second floor to cave into the basement. Rescuers then racing to reach those trapped workers in time.
One of the problems that you have with wet concrete is having to do the searches before it hardens.
8 people were injured and taken to hospitals, 2 in critical condition. This latest incident comes just days after the collapse of an apartment building in Iowa that was undergoing repairs. New surveillance video shows how the rear of that Iowa building came down in just minutes. You can see bricks start to fall from different sections of the wall until it all crumbles. Tonight, search teams are finally sifting through that rubble looking for 3 missing residents as their families wait for news.
It took us a long time to get to this point for them to actually do an accurate search through the building and actually come down here and start moving the debris.
Local Mason Ryan Schaefer says he warned workers doing repairs in the days and hours leading up to the collapse.
You need to stop working on it. It's not safe to be working underneath it. Get away from there, you're going to die.
Schaefer says he bid on the job, but that his proposal was rejected because the building's owner thought it was too expensive.
I thought maybe 10 or 15 feet would go, but only on the outside. I never had any idea that would all go.
Meanwhile, here in Connecticut, the investigation into today's construction collapse is just getting started.
David, as you can see, police are still here at the scene. Officials say 32 people were working at this construction site. All construction has been stopped here for now. OSHA is investigating. David.
Stephanie Ramos leading us off here on a Friday night. Stephanie, thank you. Meanwhile, here in New York City tonight, we are tracking a storm headed this way. And hurricane season has officially started. And tonight, already the first named storm has formed in the Gulf. Look at this tonight. Heavy rain, potential flooding in Florida. This is Tropical Storm Arlene you're looking at, triggering rain and that flood watch now across South Florida tonight. While in the Northeast, soaring heat raising the fire danger, this wildfire in South Jersey closing the Garden State Parkway for a time. And at this hour, a severe storm system bringing thunderstorms rolling right into the New York City area with lightning, rain, and flooding all possible. Big night of weather. Rob Marciano tracking it all. He's live in Florida for us tonight. Hey, Rob.
Hi, David. Let's begin with that first tropical storm of this very young hurricane season. Arlene, about 350 miles to our west in the Gulf of Mexico. Pumping up the water. We had rounds of heavy rain today. Flood watch remains up. Arlene going to dissipate as it heads down to our south, but the flow will continue up, so rain's going to be more of a problem. West Texas, rain continues to be a problem there. Tornado watch up until 8 o'clock. You're getting a severe thunderstorm in New York City right now. This, with record-breaking heat there, 94 today in Hartford, 95 in Manchester. Cooling thunderstorms tonight, but a cool front coming down, a backdoor cold front. Temperatures dropping 30 degrees into the 50s with that wind off the ocean tomorrow in Boston.
David, drastic change coming. Rob Marciano with the weather from Florida right up to New York tonight. Rob, thank you. Next tonight here, we have new reporting on former President Trump's handling of highly classified documents. ABC News has learned that Donald Trump's lawyers were unable to find that sensitive document Trump was allegedly heard on a recording saying he kept after leaving the White House about a potential U.S. attack on Iran during the Trump years. Here's our Chief Justice correspondent, Pierre Thomas, tonight.
Tonight, ABC News learning of a surprising new concern about former President Trump's handling of classified documents, specifically one about the U.S. possibly attacking Iran during his administration. After an audio recording of the former president surfaced from July 2021, saying he kept a sensitive military document after leaving the White House, ABC News learned that the special counsel called on Trump's attorney to produce it. But his attorneys, according to sources, were unable to find it. In a town hall meeting in Iowa overnight, Trump was dismissive.
No, I don't know anything about it. All I know is this. Everything I did was right. We have the Presidential Records Act, which I abided by 100%. I have the right to declassify as president.
But Trump brought hundreds of classified documents to Mar-a-Lago, haggling with the National Archives for months, handing over documents reluctantly, eventually facing a subpoena. And when FBI agents got a tip he had still more documents, even after his attorney said they'd produced everything, they took the dramatic step of searching his home, finding more than 100 highly sensitive papers. Sources telling ABC News Trump's actions stand in contrast to that of Mike Pence, who was just today cleared of possibly mishandling classified documents as well. Upon discovering them in his Indiana home, Pence's team alerted authorities immediately and allowed them to search without a warrant.
Those classified documents should not have been in my personal residence. Mistakes were made.
It was an embarrassing moment because just weeks before, here's what Mike Pence told David.
Let me ask you, as we sit here in your home office in Indiana, did you take any classified documents with you from the White House?
I did not.
Do you see any reason for anyone to take classified documents with them leaving the White House?
Well, there'd be no reason to have classified documents, particularly if they were in an unprotected area.
After the discovery, Pence saying it was an unintentional error. And tonight, federal investigators, it seems, would agree. The Justice Department telling his attorneys in a letter reviewed by ABC News that the investigation had been closed without any need for prosecution.
That's good news for Pence, who's set to officially announce his campaign for the White House next week. As for classified documents discovered in President Biden's home and offices, that remains under investigation by another special counsel. David.
And you'll continue to follow it all for us, Pierre Thomas. Thank you. We learned late today that CIA Director William Burns has made a secret trip to China for the Biden administration. Now, this is the highest level contact between the two countries in quite some time. Let's get right to ABC's Chief Global Affairs Anchor, Martha Raddatz. And Martha, what have you learned about Director Burns' trip?
David, a U.S. official confirming tonight that Director Burns traveled to Beijing in May and met with his counterparts there in an effort to keep lines of communication open between our two countries. This comes, of course, as tensions with China are high. Secretary of State Antony Blinken canceled a trip to China in February because of that Chinese spy balloon that crossed the U.S. So this does mark the highest level visit to Beijing. But a U.S. official also telling us tonight that Secretary Blinken is hoping to visit China sometime this summer. David?
All right. Martha Raddatz live in Washington tonight. Martha, thank you. We are also following a horrific scene playing out in India tonight. More than 200 dead and the toll growing. This after a deadly train accident overnight southwest of Kolkata. A crowded train derailing at night, debris falling on the tracks, causing multiple cars and a second train coming from the opposite direction to derail as well. Rescuers working frantically to free hundreds of passengers. More than 900 were injured and taken to hospitals. And the toll right now, at least 207 dead. Back here in the U.S. tonight, and President Biden set to address the nation from the Oval Office tonight, heralding the debt ceiling deal that cleared Congress with bipartisan support, arguing neither side got everything they wanted. Here's our chief White House correspondent, Mary Bruce, tonight.
On this vote, the
tonight, after the Senate quickly pushed through that deal to lift the debt limit and pay off the nation's bills,
the bill is passed,
narrowly avoiding an economic disaster. The president now just moments away from touting that bipartisan effort in his first Oval Office address. The president tonight will say passing this budget agreement was critical. The stakes could not have been higher. And he will recognize the opposition the bill faced from both sides, but will argue no one got everything they wanted, but the American people got what they needed. The bill cuts the deficit by $1.5 trillion over 10 years, suspends the debt limit for the next 2 years until after the presidential election, and imposes new work requirements for some Americans relying on food assistance programs. It will also end the pause on repaying student loans.
We've saved the country from the scourge of default.
But the economy is not out of the woods yet. Tonight, one of the country's major credit agencies says the U.S. is still at risk of a credit rating downgrade, which could make borrowing more expensive and send the stock market tumbling. The agency citing the repeated political standoffs around the debt limit.
Now, the bill tonight is still making its way to the president's desk. Biden has said he will sign it as soon as possible, likely tomorrow. That's 2 days before the default deadline. David.
Mary Bruce tonight. Mary, thank you. And of course, the White House considers that debt deal a major victory. And they also welcome the news on the economy today, the major news on American jobs. Employers adding 339,000 jobs last month. That's nearly double what analysts had predicted. Unemployment ticking up slightly to 3.7%. The Dow today soaring more than 700 points on the jobs news and on Congress clinching that debt ceiling deal. Let's bring in our chief business and economics correspondent, Rebecca Jarvis, tonight. And Rebecca, I know you've been tracking these numbers and what this could all mean in the effort to tame inflation in the U.S.
Well, that's right, David. And this is a jobs report that doesn't make the Fed's job ahead any easier or clearer in its fight against inflation. We've now seen 14 straight months of job creation ahead of expectations. And while wages are starting to cool, they are now essentially keeping up with inflation. But economists would like to see that inflation continue to go lower. The Fed's job ahead in 10 days is to make a new decision about interest rates, and they will have to balance whether or not the rate hikes they've already done so far have taken their full effect, or more rate hikes are necessary. And David, whether they can do that without causing a recession. David?
Rebecca Jarvis here with us on a Friday as well. Thank you, Rebecca. Now to California tonight and to the deadly stabbing spree and carjackings. A suspect accused of killing three people, including two pedestrians that authorities say he intentionally ran over. Several others injured tonight. How this siege came to an end. Here's Matt Gutman.
With stabbings, carjackings, and rammings, tonight the suspect in that violent rampage that left victims scattered across parts of California's Bay Area Thursday is in custody.
We ended the crime spree. We were able to effectively prevent additional people from being injured.
Police say just after 3 p.m. local time, 31-year-old Kevin Porcarana allegedly carjacked and stabbed two separate victims in quick succession. As he fled, he slammed his stolen vehicle into a third victim. All three of those injured hospitalized. An hour later, San Jose police responding to reports of yet another non-fatal stabbing and of a vehicle intentionally running over two pedestrians at a separate location. Authorities say those two pedestrians did not survive. The suspect then fleeing to this shopping center parking lot in nearby Milpitas, where he allegedly fatally stabbed another victim before abandoning his vehicle and again fleeing, hiding this time in a nearby residential area. Roughly 3 hours after the deadly rampage began, police apprehending Parkerana.
David, the suspect is being evaluated for his mental health. Police are asking any additional victims to come forward. They say he is now facing counts of homicide, attempted homicide, and carjacking. David.
All right, just a horrific scene there as well. Matt, thank you. We turn now to the Jeffrey Epstein case. There are new details tonight about the troubled final days of convicted sex offender Epstein, who died by suicide in prison. Tonight, ABC News obtaining prison documents and what they now reveal. Here's ABC's Aaron Katursky.
The news came as a shock when told Jeffrey Epstein, the nation's most notorious sex offender, had passed in jail. A prosecutor responded, "What do you mean by passed?" As the stunning news spread, prosecutors seemingly knew little. "We are getting increasingly frantic calls," one wrote in emails, calling the lack of information from prison officials frankly unbelievable and extraordinarily frustrating. The accounts appearing in newly released records about Epstein's troubled final days. He wrote to Larry Nassar, the doctor convicted of abusing gymnasts. His letter, found in the mailroom, returned to sender. Epstein lived for access to power, money, and sex, and accustomed to preferential treatment from the legal system. When a federal judge denied him bail, assuring he would remain locked up while awaiting trial on sex charges, the records suggest Epstein spiraled. He denied being suicidal, even referring to himself as a coward. But on August 10, 2019, Epstein died by suicide. The records show a guard was bringing breakfast just after 6:30 a.m. when Epstein was discovered unresponsive, an orange noose made from bedsheets found in his cell.
And nearly 4 years later, David, the Justice Department is still investigating how Epstein, at the time the highest profile federal inmate, was able to die by suicide while in custody here in New York. We're told, David, a final report could come very soon. David?
Of course, that is still a major question. Aaron Katursky on this case again tonight. Thank you, Aaron. Now to the war in Ukraine. Ukraine now taking the fight to Russia on multiple fronts. Ukrainian missiles striking deep inside Russian-occupied territory in the south. Also stepping up artillery attacks across its northern border into Russia. Local officials in the Belgorod region say 2,500 Russian civilians have now been evacuated to temporary shelters. Western officials believe Ukraine is trying to optimize conditions for a future offensive against Russia. When we come back, news on a Delta flight from Paris to the U.S. diverted because of an unruly passenger who broke free from restraints in a moment.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
Tonight, we have learned a Delta flight from Paris to Detroit had to be diverted to Canada because of an unruly passenger who had been restrained, but who then broke through those restraints. The flight track showing the sharp turn toward Canada. Authorities say the unruly passenger was placed in those restraints, but got out. Other passengers then holding onto him until the plane landed in Newfoundland. He was arrested by Canadian authorities. No one was hurt. That flight did continue to Detroit.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today, we talk brainstorms with UX designer Brian. Let's go. First question. You thought you'd see everyone's idea in the team brainstorm, but you've got a grand total of one. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, right? Because in Miro, the team can add ideas now or later. And with privacy mode, we can keep them anonymous until they're good to share.
Correct. Next, you need the best way to explain your idea, but all you have is a few sticky notes. Drawing board or Miro board?
Drawing board, because, you know, in Miro, I could record videos, add text, images, links, and digital sticky notes, of course. Present my thoughts the way I want.
Right again! Now,
You're looking for a past idea you thought was just genius. Only you could find... Oh, there it is. Drawing board or...
Miro. Our finished and unfinished work lives in one place.
And he's won.
Join over 60 million people getting ideas noticed in Miro brainstorms. Get your first three boards for free at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.com.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially four trials facing former President Trump as he makes his third bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.
To the Index, and we learned today that legendary singer-songwriter Cynthia Weil has died. She wrote dozens of hits, from the Righteous Brothers' You've Lost That Love and Feeling to Dolly Parton's Here You Come Again.
Here you come again.
Cynthia Weil had an amazing list of songs, Walking in the Rain and On Broadway. She and her husband, Barry Mann, were one of the most successful teams in music. Cynthia Weil was 82.
Hey, scientists. How critical is pure water to you? In this new podcast, Lab Water Stories Unfiltered, we at Millipore Sigma look closer at this often overlooked lab essential. Tune in as experts drop tips and insights not found in textbooks, taken from their work with Millicue Lab Water Solutions. Lab Water Stories Unfiltered. Find it wherever you get your podcasts. Millipore Sigma is the U.S. and Canada life science business of Merck KGaA Darmstadt, Germany.
Finally tonight here, our person of the week, the graduate determined to walk to get that diploma.
It was just before his high school prom in 2016, the unthinkable for a high school student. Khalil Watson was shot in the neck after being robbed, leaving him paralyzed from the chest down. He survived, but so much of what a graduating senior looks forward to was stolen from him. But 7 years later, a walk. Years in the making. In Richmond, Virginia, Khalil Watson and his college graduation. He trained himself for this moment, determined he would someday walk to get that diploma himself and watch the moment he gets that diploma. He got a standing ovation for his accomplishment and a degree as he works to become a social worker. And right here tonight...
Hi, David.
Khalil, on why walking himself all these years later across that stage was so important to him.
On the day of graduation, as I walked across the stage, the main focus was each step that I took. It kind of felt like a dream in a way. Life was like a roller coaster. We're going to experience ups and downs. We just have to keep going.
And so we choose Khalil Watson, who trained for so long for that moment, to walk to get his degree. I'm David Muir. I'll see you later tonight for 2020, 9 p.m. Eastern, right here. Good night.